What's going on, everybody? Mike Perillo, the host of Dying to Talk. We've made it. We have left the audio realm and have gone to a visual realm of podcasting. We're still audio, obviously, because that's how podcast works. But we finally did it. We got our own little studio space to record, and Dying to Talk is back. We've been gone for a while, I think about maybe a month. And in that time, we weren't just sitting on our asses with our thumbs up our asses. We were very busy, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on. Let me just introduce my guest here today. Actress, singer, costumer, strong mover, Kara Ramos Domidio. How you doing, Kara?
Hi, I'm good. I'm really excited to be here.
Aren't you excited? I'll be here.
The first video guest.
The first guest of season two of Dying to Talk. I don't think any podcast I listen to does it by seasons, but we're doing it by seasons.
There's a couple I listen to that go by seasons, but okay.
All right, cool. I just didn't want to invent something, you know? That's a lot of pressure. I'm totally kidding. How you been? Good?
I've been good. I've been, you know, it's audition season, so 'tis the season to my fellow actors.
To be jolly?
To be self-taping and singing.
Well, if you ever need a self-tape, we got one, two, three cameras that could help you out. Three camera setup. I got to give a big shout out to our new in-studio producer slash director. Well, he's not really new, but Spencer is back there making everything happen. Couldn't do it without him. And he probably is about to cry that I just said that. Anyway.
Thanks.
Before we jump into the opening segment, which is Whose Pants Are These? I know you guys are really excited that that's back. But I just want to talk real quick. We took a couple of week hiatus from Dying to Talk just to kind of reassess how to reinvent the wheel. And I remember I don't remember what episode it just went out, but a lot of people are asking me, oh, you should put it on YouTube. And I'm like, I don't want to put like an hour long thing on YouTube with no video component.
But people eat that up.
Really?
People love it.
But what if you like, because with YouTube, you can't like lock your screen and listen to it still.
Yeah,
it stops.
But I'm a person who some podcasts, specifically the Broski Report, Brittany Broski's podcast, I watch on YouTube.
But she's a video too, or?
Yeah, it's just her sitting at her desk.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Which is cool. Mm-hmm. And she's got a cool set.
Yeah.
But like it's Brittany nice because like I'll put it on. And I'll put it on loud, and then I'll, like, go back. And if there was, like, something that, like, sounded funny, I'll go back and, like, watch it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes she just does funny stuff. And makes
she
funny
is
faces.
Very funny. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
We watched some of her videos of her, like, with the role-playing.
We watched – I showed him the Minecraft – the one of her playing Minecraft.
Oh, yeah.
And that was kind of the intro. And then we did
– the Five Nights at Freddy's one.
Oh, it was – that was the intro. And then we watched the Minecraft.
Yeah. Anyway, what was there's another one? The chat, like the
chat
with the
like Super Mario. And that was really funny.
If you haven't watched the Brittany Broski Report, watch it.
The Broski Report.
The Broski Report. Sorry, watch it. But anyway, I started to get the idea of like, ooh, that'd be cool if we did a video, like we filmed and recorded at the same time. I guess that's, what we already do for other stuff. But then I was like, oh, well, how would we do it? Where would we do it? And then, boom, here we go. Here we are. I'm not going to tell you where our studio is because it's none of your fucking business. Anyway, opening segment.
If you're cool enough to get invited, you'll know.
Yo, facts. You'll know. Opening segment, Kara. Are you ready? It's back.
I'm ready.
Whose pants are these?
These are my pants. They were from Aerie, Offline.
Ooh.
And they were a gift from you.
Oh, I bought you those?
Yes.
I did.
These were a Christmas
Those are the
present.
Pants you always get compliments on when we're out in public.
Every time.
Guys, or anybody that's in a relationship, I don't discriminate. Let me know if this has ever happened to you. Do you find that waitresses and waiters, or just people in general, only pay attention to your significant other and not you? This sounds like I'm setting up for an advertisement, but I'm not. Time and time again, when Kara's wearing those pants, somebody will like compliment her or say something really nice to her, and then won't even acknowledge that I exist, and it's hurtful.
Yeah.
But I get it.
But you know what? There's a lot of waitresses, like, it's like a thing where, like, they won't acknowledge the guy more than they need to. So that way they're like, girl, look, I don't want your man. Like, believe me.
Yeah.
You know, because most of the time.
Until it comes time for that bill, then they go, here you go, sir. Ain't getting no fucking tip. Fuck that. Right or wrong?
No comment.
Exactly. And me. Hey, it wouldn't be Dying to Talk without my good old Black Gap jeans. These are jeans. Kara says these aren't jeans. He says these are khakis. But they're jeans. They're made out of... They were in the denim section.
They're pants.
They were in the denim section.
Those are pants. Can I feel them to confirm? I don't know. They feel kind of like a cotton mix.
Hybrid pants.
a cotton blend.
cheese cotton blend of pants. Anyway, that concludes whose pants are these. All right. For those of you who don't know who Kara is, and I'm going to let her explain that for you in a second, she's probably the most talked about person on season one of Dying to Talk.
Yeah.
That never made an appearance. I don't think I went one episode without mentioning you. So I guess it made sense to have you on the episode so I could stop talking about you.
Even on the episodes where you're like, I need to stop talking about her so much, you kept talking about me. Addison and I talked about that at work one day.
Talk with your coworkers instead of working at your job? Wow. Anyway, Kara, tell us. Well, who are you? I'm just kidding. But yeah, for those of you who don't know, Kara is a professional costumer in the IATSE Union
764 is my local.
764. She's a union member. The only one in this room that's in a union. You're in two unions.
I am.
Swag. I'm in zero, and Spencer is in zero. Michael, zero. And Miles, zero. Only person that's in a union.
Two unions. You guys have a lot of catching up to do.
Oh, yeah? How's them union paychecks cutting? Demolished. Anyway, Kara, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell our guests who you are and what you do a little bit, and then we'll just, you know, see what the fuck happens. Let's roll with it. This is going to be a challenge for me because I know so much about you.
Right.
And Mr. Conti always says I talk too much and my guests don't talk enough.
Mr. So, meaning
Bob.
Oh.
So, Bob, I'm not talking anymore. What was that?
I don't know. Sorry, I got a hair on my arm.
You could also look wherever. You don't always have to look at the camera.
Yeah, it's kind of, I'm getting like a little overwhelmed with choice. Like, do I look at you? Do I look at camera 1, 2, 3, Spencer? Like, what do I look at?
Spencer or any of the pictures of my deceased family members over there. Hey, you can look at my cool stuff that I got on my desk. Mm-hmm. My Cody Rhodes.
That's helpful. Okay, I'll try and look somewhere. Yeah, I'm it's so weird to introduce myself to you guys, but I'm Kara. I am a, you know, singer, actor, costumer. That's what I do. Boating, fishing.
Yes, you are a boater and a fisher.
I am a certified fisherman.
Mm-hmm. She has her license. You do have your fisher's license, don't you?
I actually don't even have my boating license, which is really easy to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
I should probably have it. What?
I don't know.
No, it's true, though. I probably should have one because we have a boat.
Do you want me to, like, spoon feed you the intro? Okay, all right.
Is it not clear that I...
Anyway, Kara, so your main squeeze, you're just like the rest of us. I mean, you have a dream and a goal that you were trying to get after. But you also have a day job. We're not going to talk about your day job.
No, we are not. Not one bit.
But let's talk about your aspirations and where they started. You love musical theater. Where did that start for you?
I do love musical theater. So I did not want to do musical theater at first. I wanted to be a pop singer.
Really?
That was like, I should have my own podcast where I just read my own journal entries. That would put me in an asylum, maybe. I like was really clear about that. When I started singing in like third grade, I didn't want to do theater. I only wanted to sing pop music. I wanted to be like a recording artist. Like, I don't know what it was.
Was it like the Disney Channel era of like every little kid was becoming a recording artist? And you just
it was that,
like
but
that?
Like even I was like, as an adult, I want to be a famous singer. Like that was always my thing. Is I want to be a famous singer.
Mm-hmm.
And then
who was your favorite singer growing up?
My mom had me listen to Whitney Houston a lot. Okay. I listened to a lot of my mom's music.
All right.
Whitney Houston and a lot of disco. You know my mom. She loves disco. Mm-hmm. I listened to a lot.
Women in their 60s.
And not like we are family. Like real, like old school, like songs. She'd be like, I listened to this when I was 17 in the club. And like, I think that's like the coolest piece of information as a kid to be given by your parent. Be like, I was in the club dancing to this in 1970, whatever.
In the club.
In the club, we all fam.
Anyway, you're doing, what do you mean? You're doing what?
But yeah, so I started really just wanting to sing. And I remember one of the first songs I sang. Well, I mean, I was in third grade, so I sang Part of Your World because, you know.
Where's that from?
The Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid.
Alan Menken, yeah, you dog. Yeah,
yeah. How dare you?
He, what a guy.
What a goat.
Written everything Disney. So you sang, not everything.
You sang Part of Your World, I sang, like, at like a thing?
Yeah, that was like, so I was working. So I started doing voice and piano, and I kept forgetting my piano book, and I'd be like, oh no, I just have to sing for an hour. And then Eileen, eventually my voice teacher, Eileen Reed, who's been my voice teacher for the last, I can't even say 10 anymore, more than that.
Wow.
Like 12.
Mm-hmm. Can't even say 10 plus 2.
11? No, 1 third T1. Grade. So how old are you in third grade? Like 8? 7?
7, probably. I don't remember how old I was in third grade.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But so a long time. And she's seen my voice go through a lot of changes. And yeah, I was like, I don't want to sing musical theater. I don't want to do Broadway. Like, that was like really my... like.
That's lame.
It was. And then I really wanted a dog.
Uh-huh.
With every fiber of my being, I wanted a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
So bad. So my mom devised a plan. And she said, you have to earn points. You have to earn puppy points. And when you earn enough puppy points, 100, you get the puppy.
100 like, puppy points.
And I was like, damn.
What's the dollar ratio conversion to... what's the zloty ratio of puppy point?
You'd have to ask Julie Reed.
Okay.
She is very familiar with the zloty.
With the zloty? That is...
currency.
Where is that?
Iceland? Poland.
Poland. Poland.
And so, yeah. So she made me do stuff like softball... which I hate. I hated softball. I hated softball. Softball, you know, I would get like small things for like, oh, I did a lot of cleaning when we were about to have people over. Here's 5 points because it was super helpful or something. My brother had like 15 of his points in there, but most of it was like my work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and a big thing was she was like, I want you to try doing the school play. And I was like, okay. I had done a play when I was in kindergarten, Three Nanny Goats Gruff, if you were curious. I was one of the Three Nanny Goats Gruff.
Wow. In third grade?
Kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And you know, like your class does plays, you know, I know you're familiar.
That's fucking impressive. Kindergarten is the lead.
Yeah. Well, I'm speaking to the Mr. Ebenezer Litterbug himself.
That's true. Maybe, you know what, because now we're a video podcast, we could plug in a small clip for me.
Oh,
I
would love that.
Just a little context. It was a Christmas carol, but it was rewritten by my third grade teacher to fit Earth Day. Wow, Earth Day is today, so.
Happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day. At the time of recording, today is Earth Day. So it was basically the day before Earth Day, but it was a Christmas carol. And I was Ebenezer Scrooge, but they called me Ebenezer Litterbug.
And
Litterbug. I had like etnies and like a red, like a gray t-shirt
with
a red long
short
sleeve.
It was a long sleeve, short sleeve combination, a layered tee action.
A layered tee.
Yeah.
Leading the fucking show. We had a matinee and then an evening performance.
A two doche?
A two, yeah.
Wow.
Sure. Anyway, so you ended up doing...
Yeah, so I ended up doing, we were doing, couldn't get the rights version of Aladdin. Called Arabian Nights.
Nice.
And they added a bunch of parts. And instead of the like blue genie, there was additional genies.
Wow.
Genies of the diamond, ruby, and emerald. I was genie of the ruby.
Oh.
Which is cool. And it was really cute. They threw in a bunch of like 60s music to that for some reason. I don't remember much of the soundtrack. There is a video of that song.
I was just
going
to say, I'm going to need to see that.
Yeah.
So you did that. You got the dog.
I did that. I sang Can't Hurry Love.
Okay.
And then I got the dog.
Hell yeah.
She was for my 10th birthday on accumulating, from accumulating the puppy points.
Mm-hmm. Motorcycle Brigade driving by.
Literally. Motorcycle Brigade.
What?
Illuminated motorcycle.
That was my own fuck. I fucked up.
Okay, I'm an, sorry.
No, that was really my fault. I didn't read the room and notice. But I was like, it. Never mind. We're not talking about it. We're here to talk about Kara's career.
Right. So,
fuck.
So. Yeah, so I got the puppy. Yeah. And now she's 15 years old.
Shout out to Casey the dog.
My baby.
So then you ended up doing musical theater.
And then I continued doing it because I actually really liked it. I liked the attention. I liked singing.
Shocker, you liked the attention. Who would have fucking thought?
And yeah, and then I just kept doing it. And then the next pivotal moment in becoming a theater artist was when the 2013 movie of Les Mis came out.
Ooh. Starring Russell Crowe. Your favorite.
Not starring Russell. I really wish they cast someone else. That movie is so pivotal to who I am as a human being in ways I can't explain.
And Russell Crowe is a part of that.
Unfortunately so.
So you saw that movie and go.
Do you know how exciting it was to see Russell Crowe sing Stars and then see someone like Will Swenson do it? I know you guys don't even know who that is, but Audra McDonald's husband, whatever. Will Swenson singing Stars as opposed to Russell Crowe singing Stars. It was a real upgrade. It was such a treat.
Mm. So you saw that movie and decided that's where you wanted your career.
I actively remember sitting down after a few months after seeing that movie and being like, I actually want to do musical theater, like, for real. Like, that was kind of the thing that, like, solidified it, that I was like, this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and then from there, it just kept getting... I used to run a Tumblr blog, theater, Broadway fan page. Not just Broadway, like, West End, German, like niche theaters, like, unbelievable, and actors in weird shows, and I watched a whole show in German one time because I really liked the music. Like, it, yeah. I had a couple thousand followers. I was pretty...
Wow. Good ratio.
Not bad for,
not
you know,
bad
a,
for
a
13
theater.
Year old. And on Tumblr. Tumblr's hard to get numbers, man.
Tumblr, well, that was like Tumblr's heyday.
So this is 2013, 2014.
Gabby wrote... You're going to have to cut this. You can't include this in here.
So maybe don't even say it.
Okay. But Gabby had a way more popular blog than I did on Tumblr. One Direction blog.
Anyway.
You can keep that in.
That's so silly.
I censored
and
the
here
part.
I thought what I did as a kid was weird. Anyway, so you decided, you ended up going to school for musical theater.
I did.
How did that work out for you? Sorry.
It worked out fine. I think, you know, what happened. I think what would have been a better suited plan for me, but I needed the structure, would have been to have like moved to the city and just worked and auditioned. But I think I needed the structure of school for a while. I think that helped. And then COVID threw an absolute monkey wrench into
the structure
of
like training and
yeah, I think, and the schedule. I think if I had thrown myself into it the way I wanted to, I don't think it would have worked out. Like, I don't think I would have been as productive. Yeah.
But, while I was in high school, I remember potentially majoring in theater and going to college, and to me, it felt more like a rat race than just trying to audition and make it as an actor. But I didn't have intentions of doing theater, and you can't really major for film acting. You can major for film making and film production.
You can just major in acting, but yeah. I mean, all of those roots are going to trace back to theater because
it's a very expensive thing to major in too.
It just to not make a lot of money unless you luck out.
Yeah.
But some schools and some programs allow for auditioning when you're there. Both schools that I had attended, because I did transfer, did not allow that.
And where did you go, just for context? For
my freshman year of college, I went to Montclair State University. Uh-huh. And then I transferred to Marymount Manhattan College. I always wanted to be in the city.
That's, you know, that's
the place to go. That's like the heart of it. I really wanted to be in the city. I was excited to, you know, leave the suburbs, and Montclair was like in a rich suburb town. It was cute. And I had, you know, a couple good teachers that really made a difference when I was there. Mm. But Marymount was definitely a better fit for me. It's not a performing arts school specifically, but that's how everyone looks at it, because you don't go to Marymount and like major in like math and be like, why is all the theater kids getting funding? Girl, be for real. Like, so you go to a theater school.
facts. That's like
theater, dance, acting. That's their big.
That's like going to like UConn or Michigan State or some other fucking major football college and go, noticing there's not a lot of funding here in the chess team. What's good with that? But that was a really bad example. I wish, yeah, you know, it's the annoying thing too, now that we're a video podcast, there's less room of error for me to fuck up, because then it's like, now I have to edit my fuck up 1, 2, 3, 4 times.
Yeah.
Flawless. I got to be. That's what I got to be. Let's briefly, as a theater girl, so I know you were a lead in like everything you did in high school, and a lot of leading lads and lasses and any other leading folk out there might kind of build up an ego and go off to college expecting the world. That was the biggest thing for me, because when I was in college and I was involved with theater for a little bit, I was meeting some of these people. I was like, yeah, where do you, like, who do you really think you are?
Yeah.
Were you one of those people?
My parents really kind of briefed me on, they were like, you are going from being a big fish in a small pond to a small fish in a really big pond.
Well, let's hold on. I understand the pond aspect, but do you really shrink as the fish, or does the you know what I mean?
I understand your approach to that example.
Do you really shrink as the fish?
I just thought of the Arrested Development quote where she's like, I hear your judgment against me. I ignore it and I will not respond to it, or something like that.
I was just saying that just to point out like a little, a big fish in a small pond to a small fish in a big pond. It's like,
yeah,
but you're a fish. So
I'm the same size fish, but it's a lot larger fish
in a different body of water.
But you're an egotistically large fish.
So you thought you were like a shark or a hammerhead, but in reality you were like a trout.
Well, no, because like, you know, I'm doing theater in a small town in high school and then like summer shows.
Yeah, so you thought you were like one of a kind. You are to me, by the way.
Thank you. yeah, no, I definitely did, because bless you.
Sorry.
The car horn.
Yeah, that car horn follows me around, man.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
Yeah, so I was getting leads. My director did one time straight up check my ego and gave me an ensemble role.
Ooh.
Which ended up being really fun, and like I got to be like really silly.
Mm-hmm.
And then college, I didn't get cast in anything.
And what was that like?
That was what I wanted to get at, was that the ego thing was a big thing in college, because I went in knowing that, you know, my shit does not stink, or it does. What's the example?
I don't know. That's another phrase I hear all the time. It's like, your shit don't stink. It's like, that doesn't make sense either. If anything, it's like, your shit smells just like everybody else's.
Thank you.
That's such a bad thing.
I guess.
You act like your pee doesn't run.
Acting like you don't make the bathroom smell bad.
Stop shitting. You acting like you ain't shitting.
Stop pooping.
Where's that from?
Parks and Rec. He improv'd that, actually.
Who?
Rob Lowe.
Good for Rob
Lowe. As Chris, he improv. Do you really?
You have the same birthday as Rob Lowe. Yeah.
That's cool. Wow. I have the same birthday as Jane Lynch.
That guy? Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I got you both beat. I have the same birthday as Kevin Costner and Dave Bautista.
And Anthony Perillo.
And Sam Conti. Christian Grey. And Christian Grey. And James
Who's
Mayer.
Who's Christian Grey?
He is a friend of ours.
Oh, isn't that from the...
No, from 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah. No, our friend Christian Grey. You'd recognize him right away. He looks very different from the rest of us.
Oh, no, I've met Christian.
Okay.
No, I know.
He's our black friend.
Come on. I have met
Who's
Christian.
Serving
he's
our
nice.
Country.
I met him
Shout
in Miles.
Shout out to Christian Grey. He's going to be our security detail one day. I wouldn't fuck with him. He's a tough motherfucker.
Slay.
And I trust him. Yeah. Anyway.
I may have
Sorry,
brothers.
Christian.
But yeah, so that was something I knew going in was that that I had to watch the ego that I'm not saying I was like walking around like ensemble. Like I love theater for all that it is and I appreciate everything about it. So I unless other people have other things to say, in which case I don't care. But I like to think that I was appreciative of a lot of the aspects of it. And I thought it's really cool. It, you know, it's movies in real life.
Movies without the production aspect behind it. So, you found that the schedule and the constant flow of things and always in class and in rehearsal, dancing and, singing kept you in prime theater shape, but you were struggling to land roles. Do you feel like college is a sense, from what I've heard from other theater people, college is very much pay to play? Because you, like, you
Absolutely.
Have to audition to get into the school and then audition to get into the shows. But then your college made a curriculum where if you weren't cast, you can't graduate?
Yeah, so...
Which is, sounds fucking insane.
So
that sounds like
school,
a scam.
So Marymount was really interesting because, one, you don't go into an audition room with 1 to 5 people at a panel in front of you and an accompanist and then sing, monologue, leave. Mm-hmm. We auditioned in groups of 20 in front of other people auditioning, which, if you've ever auditioned for something, the more people in the room, it's usually scarier that way, you know?
Interesting.
But auditioning in front of the other people who want... Marymount wasn't a huge program. We were maybe, like, each class was maybe, like, 30 to 40 musical theater kids.
Really?
Musical theater is always a really small class size. And so, you know, and it's one of the top 50 performing arts schools in the country.
Okay, flex.
So, well, no, I'm just saying for the competitiveness and then to go in and be like, wow, we're all just watching each other's audition. But honestly, as scary as that was, it was a really good, like, ripping a Band-Aid off and being like, here you go. You want to do this, right? Do it in front of other people who want it just as bad, if not more than you. So I understand the principle of that. And my audition went really well.
Well, you got in.
I actually didn't think I was going to. I left that audition pretty upset. But yeah, so there was a lot of ego that I was encountering from people who had more money, who were in, who had more training because they had more money, who had better training because they had more money. It's, especially the people who really were like kind of there like fighting for it, like, you know, I was kind of in the middle ground, but there were a lot of people I met at auditions that were like 17 years old, like, I drove myself here because my parents hate the fact that I do theater and they didn't want to bring me to an audition. Damn. And that made me really sad, but also extremely grateful for the support system that I had, because if you don't have a good support system and then you go and you deal with people doing ego and something so personal as musical theater, your face, your body is your product. That it sounds saying your body's your product the wrong thing, but like, you know, it's not like you're making a product. It's not like this where you are making a product but you're using something. Like, this all comes from me. The dance skill comes from me. The singing comes from me. My organs, it's not an instrument. It is an instrument, but it's not an external instrument. It's something inside that you have to figure out
And you have to train a lot harder, too, because you are solely relying on
you. And it's really hard, and there's a lot of dysmorphia and insecurity that comes with the industry. I mean, like, I remember a really hard part was at Marymount, you have daily dance. So 8 a.m. every morning, Monday through Friday.
Mm.
You have 2 days of ballet, 2 days of jazz, 1 day of tap. You dance for an hour and a half, Monday through Friday. First thing you do.
Mm.
Like, that's not like you schedule. That is built. That's part of the program. It's mandatory. Set up that way, which is good. The schools that are heavy on the dance training are usually some of the stronger ones.
Yeah, I mean,
because they're like, you need to be a triple threat. That's just kind of how it has to be.
Especially in musical theater. If you can't move, if you can't...
You need to be able to at least move.
Well, not only, like, you don't need to be the best dancer. You need to have the conditioning of a good dancer, I think, because there's nothing worse than watching a show. I've seen it. We've gone to a couple of shows and, like, really good voice, but they're out of breath, and then it starts to like crack. Yeah. And
the stamina is a real thing, but also it's a different world when you're doing 8 shows a week.
Yeah,
so it's interesting, but yeah, I'm very grateful for the training, and the teachers I had were absolutely amazing. I mean, one of the teachers I had was a student of a teacher I had before him, so I was like, wow, this really. So I had Jeff Shade as my dance teacher at Montclair.
Mm-hmm.
He taught jazz, and his class was mostly conditioning. Like, literally most of the class was a workout, and the last 30 to 40 was dance. Same. And then the next year when I went to Marymount, I had Kyle Pleasant. I absolutely loved him as a teacher. He was fantastic. Guy. And he was Jeff's student, which made so much sense in the way that his class was set up. I was in the best shape of my life at that point. Like, borderline having abs, like, kind of shape. When you're dancing that much, it really does. I mean, ballerinas look the way they do because they work so hard. You know, like, it's crazy. So having teachers who made something. Also, I was not a dancer. I hated dancing. Everyone who knew me, like, when I did Hairspray, like, that was the funny part, was that I was Penny and I could not dance for shit. Like, I could not dance.
Mm-hmm.
We had to cut Penny's dance break because I couldn't dance, even in Penny's style. Like, I just couldn't. I was scared, and I was stopping.
Where is there a dance break in Penny?
And You Can't Stop the Beat. Like, her and Seaweed have, like, a little...
Damn. And you sucked that bad.
Yeah, I parked
Shame.
And barked it.
Shame.
She literally, the producer came up to me, and she was like, do you want to just stand there and sing this? I swear to God. And I was like... Yes, please.
Nah, yeah, no shame. I've done that. I've taken myself out of numbers.
And there's no shame in a park and bark. I mean, please. I mean, people make entire careers out of that. Mm-hmm. And like, so, please.
Yeah, please, book.
Please.
Anyway,
please.
So from there, the pandemic, you, just like a lot of people, were in college when the pandemic struck. I was in college training at XWA to be a professional wrestler, and I was training best shape I was in my life, training 3 days a week, hitting the weights 5 days a week, cardio and conditioning every single day. Shout out to Ruben, who got me in really good shape while I was in college.
Hi, Ruben.
And shout out to all my trainers at XWA. But I remember the pandemic happened and I was like, fuck, it's over. Crap.
Yeah.
And especially for you, like, at least for me, like, yeah, I was still working out, still being active, but for musical theater, what really was there to do? You didn't drop out. You were still in college.
Yeah. So I finished a semester.
So what was that last couple of months like for you?
Very weird.
Yeah.
I was majoring in live performance on my laptop. It's so.
Like a cam girl. No, I'm just kidding. All your shit was done on Zoom.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Well, you know. And
you're paying money as if you're...
And at no point... And everyone experienced this. Most people, unless it was already an online class, most people and their teachers at that point in time did not know how to run a class online. That was always in person. Especially when it came to performing. The structure's different and it's, you know, it's whatever. It's what it is and it's easier in some ways or not. I don't know. That was stupid. It's okay. But the structure is super different. So it was weird. I'm like doing ballet off of like the back of my dining room chair instead of a bar, or, you know, singing and trying to just deal with the people in my living room as I'm trying to film something. Oh, my self-tape days at that point in time were really rough.
The self-tapes in the kitchen.
Oh my God.
I've been blessed to see a few. So that must have been.
Yeah. I'm breaking down from falsettos. That's what that was. And it, I was breaking down. I was. Sorry.
No, you're right. So going from that, going from being involved in it, full-time student.
And working.
In class. And you were working. You're in class. You're training. You had abs. And then it's all over. Boom. Done. Yeah. Pandemic. What was the next step for you? Did you plan on going back to... Because I, once the pandemic happened, I was like, I'm done.
No.
Because the pandemic still kind of did completely destroy the collegiate system, I think. Because the Zoom class, like, I don't understand how it's fair or legal to pay full price for classes that all you need is a webcam for. And you can't fucking learn anything. I especially...
You can't. It's so hard to focus.
No. It's impossible to focus. And I was going to school for computer science and for cybersecurity. And I had a laptop. So imagine what it was like for me having to open up all these different programs while also having Zoom open on a laptop.
Sounded like a JFK.
The airport or the president?
The airport.
My computer sounded like, we need to go to the moon. Was that what it sounded like? Remember we went to the JFK? Do you remember we went to the JFK Museum and that fucking lady made us go through? This is some bullshit. If you ever go to the JFK Museum in Cape Cod, was it in Cape Cod?
Yeah, but it was like the town over.
It was like a town over from Cape Cod. If you ever go to that JFK Museum that's on that little Main Street area and you just want to go to the gift shop, you can go to the gift shop. Do not let the people at the front say you need to buy a ticket first, because that's exactly what happened to us.
Taking your money.
I wanted to go in there to buy a pair of socks for my uncle because he's a big history buff. He likes JFK. He likes all that shit. He's a man in his 60s. That's like their favorite thing in the world. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go in there and get Uncle Anthony something. We go in there and the lady goes, no, you have to buy a ticket first. You can't go into the gift shop. And I was like, oh, okay. We paid. Waste of money. I didn't care. I mean, it was cool to see some stuff. It was mostly just big pictures with like a lot of words.
Big pictures, and the old people in front of us.
Old people
were
just
wow,
like, whoa.
Whatever.
I didn't know that he wore
and
a blue sweater.
But also, they were like six people deep and like
we couldn't
blocking
get through to the other
half
room.
The,
yeah,
it was
we couldn't
so
get through the other room. So we sped through the JFK Museum. We get to the gift shop, and she was like, oh, fine, everything okay? I was like, yeah, man. I was couldn't wait to get out of there so I can get to the gift shop. She goes, what do you mean? I was like, well, you can't come in here without buying
a ticket.
The lady goes, who told you that? And then I go, as I'm pointing out to the lady over there, the lady who sold me the tickets does one of these. She just ducks out. I was like,
that's so funny.
Fucking bitch swindled us into buying JFK tickets.
She said, let me get these vampires money, these goths in Cape Cod.
Yeah, I was pissed.
Literally, we were.
That was so funny,
people
though.
People were looking at us as if we were like full blown cyber goths.
Us?
Whatever.
Exactly.
We were just wearing all black, but like everyone in Cape Cod wears
and we accidentally wore all black today.
What do you mean accident? It's like most of our wardrobe.
I had red on and then I changed because I thought you would wear red. That's not why. Anyway, so boom, pandemic happens. What were you doing?
Pandemic happened. I finished the semester. And then they announced that a lot of classes would be online in the next
bullshit
year. And I was like, I'm not doing that. And also, going back to what you mentioned before, so they had a rule. If you didn't, you needed to be cast in a production in order to graduate. I understand why, but like, why do you cast the same like 15 people for every project then?
Yeah.
Make it make sense. So I hadn't been cast in anything yet.
There definitely was no genie of the ruby.
There sure was not.
Not in college.
And they were doing weird stuff too. Not weird.
Theater's a politics. It's
yeah.
One of the similarities I found when I was playing baseball and was doing theater, I was like, wow, this is like the same thing. It's just like all the coaches who are friends with each other, whose dads they all dick ride, you hop in the theater. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, his sister was this character, and da, 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 da. And I'm like, yo, I'm gonna go outside and skate and fall and roll my ankle and go home. I don't know what the rest of you guys are gonna do.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I was like, great. So and then they announced that the show and the showcase was going to be on Zoom. And yeah. I was like, what do you mean?
You've never seen Blade Runner.
What do you mean you've never seen Blade Runner? What do you mean that the main stage show is going to be Zoom? Like, what do you mean? And I was like, you know, I'm not finishing my college career paying this much money to do that. Like, I'm sorry. And like my parents and I like had the conversation, and I was like, I just, it doesn't make sense. And like financially, it didn't make sense. So then I just stopped for a while. And then I was like working in a Froyo store. It was easy. And an essential worker was I. Need your vanilla Froyo with
frosted animal crackers.
Damn, yeah. Like.
You guys were open during the pandemic.
Yes.
I remember because I went and got frozen yogurt. We probably crossed paths a couple of times. And I was balling during the pandemic because that unemployment money was hitting. So I probably walked in there and got like four toppings.
I wish I would have been on unemployment. I would have made more money. I'm so serious.
You probably would have had enough money to start and fund a production company and a film. Biggest mistake of my fucking life. Anyway, so you ended up getting into film and television.
Yeah, so my dad at the time had not yet retired, and he was working in a space that he was informed. He was like, what is this going to be, by the way? And they were like, because he used to work for Verizon, doing electrical, whatever. And they were like, oh, it's going to be like a soundstage and like some offices for like a production company. My dad was like, oh, that's really interesting. My daughter is in theater. Maybe she would be interested. So he gave her my dad his card. And then I reached out to them and basically asked them questions. I was like, hey, are you hiring people? Are you hiring people? Please hire me.
Knocking on the door like, boom, 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 boom.
Let me in.
Yeah.
And eventually they were like, yeah, do you want to intern for us? And I was like, great. And then I stumbled across working in film and costumes and also M.F. Perillo.
Michael Francis. Yeah, that's how we met, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pretty sure I mentioned it on like a previous episode.
On a movie.
But we were both interns for a production company, and then we were both PAs for that production company's Hallmark movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started, we did a couple, and we started working together, and then we started dating. Mm-hmm. And then you did a lot of stuff. You did like, we did the three Hallmark movies. You did Pretty Little Liars.
I did Pretty Little Liars. I did Poker Face.
Poker Face.
I did The Adults.
The Adults, which is a movie with Michael Cera. If you haven't seen it, watch it.
I did a couple commercials in there.
You did The Good Doctor.
The like 1 second like shoulder clip on the ABC thing. I like just dressed best paycheck of my life. Oh my God. 3 hours of work for a disgusting amount of money.
We ate good that night.
We did.
How did you find that though? Because I did theater in high school and a tiny bit in college, but the film stuff to me at first was like, whoa, This fucking blows dick. What was that like for you? I
when you're green in film, it is so exciting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh my God, I'm making a movie. You don't care how bad it is.
What do you mean there's a table full of snacks and treats?
What do you mean there is coffee all the time? What do you mean there's a cooler full of seltzers?
Yeah.
There's granola bars.
Granola bar. Like Nature's Valley and LaCroix.
What?
Wow.
Welch's fruit snacks.
That's what it's all about for me. That's the only reason why I do what I do.
Welch's fruit snacks?
Welch's fruit snacks. Yeah. Snacks. What the fuck? Fruit snacks.
Fruit snacks.
Fruit snacks.
But
the difference of being da 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 to rolling.
It was a big adjustment because my, it was.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about theater is kind of the rehearsal process. Mm-hmm. And obviously the shows are fun and exciting, but the rehearsals like really were like the meat of the fun and the addictiveness is for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think Audra McDonald's.
Yeah, can I just get a McChicken, a medium fry?
A
6-piece bacon nugget and a bowl.
Audra McDonald has a quote. I believe it's her.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You don't seem so sure.
And it's like the rehearsal is the reward.
Mm.
Like that's the gift.
She has another quote too. Will you be using the McDonald's app today?
No, sir, what dwink? you're just going to have to include the clip of that video. Like, there's no explanation.
Now that we're a video podcast, it's going to open up a whole worm of all types of fun things, and I'm going to edit and then try to upload to YouTube, and then, surprise, The Wi-Fi at our office doesn't work still. Well, it doesn't work on a computer. Whatever. I'm never buying a Mac again. Just throwing that out there.
All right.
I should have bought a PC. I should have listened to Robert Conti. Shout out to him. Second best Conti brother around. Hear that? You just got upgraded. Oh, really? Yeah.
He said I'm three.
No, you're tied now for second.
Oops, sorry.
So, with being green, you went from being green in film to being bright red. And when I mean bright red, I mean furiously angry, wanting to punch everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Around
I started
you.
Hating it really fast. Yeah. The hours are not for everybody. If everyone's like, oh, the money's good, because you have literally no life.
Yeah.
You have no life. You are working minimum 60 hours a week. Like, it's just, it's rough. I mean, like, there were a couple, the reason I got so sick on that one job, I worked like 280-hour weeks, which is insane.
That's 160 hours for those of you keeping score at home.
Right. And I got mono because my immune system was so run down.
Yep.
It's a lot of hurry up and wait. And
it's a lot of, we need that thing, go get it. Here's the thing. Oh, we don't need it anymore.
We don't need that anymore. Thank you. Yeah, I remember in August rolling a rack of wool coats across the Armory parking lot, which, as you know, is not a parking lot. It's dirt and rocks.
It's a dirt patch.
That was one that'll stick with me. But yeah, I grew very resentful of it really quickly. And then we were blessed with theater camp. As much as I hate saying that, that movie was like summer camp film
school.
It
was a good hybrid for you.
It was
a movie about theater.
Yeah, it was like the ideal film for me. It was, one, we were at a beautiful summer camp for a month. It was amazing. And
we took a vacation in between.
We did. Stupid
fucking vacation.
But there were a lot of theater people on there. Like, I remember when Ben Platt came up and introduced himself to me, I was like, no, like, I know who you are. Like,
I didn't know who he was. I was like, what's up, bro?
And there were a couple, like,
big dog,
other really cool people that were involved with that. And then, yeah, after that, I did another project. And then I was like, I really don't want to work in film right now. So then I started costuming for theater, which was really cool. And I was glad I had the skill set that I did before doing it, because when you jump in as like a day player on like a national tour or like just like assisting as a dresser, they go, here's your track, go. They literally hand you a pamphlet that says you get assigned numbers 8 through 12 and then 15 and 17 in terms of like your people.
Yeah.
And then you are just responsible for making sure that their clothes are laid out for their quick changes. If there's a really fast quick change, that you're there with the basket and you have the right order of things prepped.
Shoes.
That's the, because there's like an order that everyone gets dressed. That order is 10 times more important when you have 25 seconds to change.
So after doing the two national tours, you decided, I think I'm going to get back to it.
Well, the reason why is because on the Legally Blonde tour, which, like, I was like, I don't even know if I can steam half of this stuff. Like, I think it'll just shrink because it was, like, fake plastic, like, fake leathers, plastic.
Leather.
They all looked really cute, though. I met a girl who I had started college with on the Legally Blonde tour. And I was like, you look really familiar. And she was like, you look familiar. And then we chatted about doing theater. It was really cool how we just kind of went like, I'm going to pull my mic away from my mouth for a second. We went like this. Like, we went around in like, it's like
a circle.
Well, no, we started in one place.
A rhombus?
Went.
An oval.
Two semicircles.
Which creates a circle.
Did you hear that? That was my stomach.
Why is everybody, did somebody fucking die? My whole family's
been blowing
up my
phone.
Put your
phone on. Do not disturb.
Do you?
She's sending you a voice to text. That's why it's a paragraph. I can see it from here.
Yeah. And the funny thing with my mom, she thinks voice to text are like the way she's saying it will be conveyed in the text. You know? She'll be like,
nothing was funnier than the Mia text.
I want you to understand something. I'll be like, listen, I want you to understand something. So
we just went like in a really, like really two completely different ways just to be back on the same tour years later. So that was really cool. And then once I left that, I came home from that and I was like, why am I not doing theater anymore? I was like, I miss it so much. I half forgot about it almost, because film keeps you so busy, because for the extent of that job, you don't really have a life. You don't think about much else. It was cool getting to do so much stuff with you, because it was like, if you were anybody else, I'd be like, oh my God, I have no time to see my boyfriend. But it was like, actually, I saw him when I checked in for work every day, which was pretty cool. Not every job, but a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And people would always hire us separately. Like, we were never like, can my boyfriend come? Like, it was always just like us getting hired.
Yeah, I'd always be like, this girl I know is a really good customer. You should totally hire her. And then they're like, oh, what's your Instagram? I'd be like,
fuck. Did that happen?
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, you know her? Yes.
Wait, what happened?
You guys seem like close friends. So you ended up, I remember you came home from the Legally Blonde tour, and then you're like, I want to do musical theater. And then you got connected to Callista, shout out to her, through Leslie, mm-hmm. Miles' mom, shout out to her, to do Guys and Dolls at the Phillips Town Depot Theater. And that was the first time I got to see you perform. And I remember after seeing you perform, I was like, oh, this is probably what she should be doing, because you never looked happier. And as your boyfriend, that's extremely disappointing to know that you never looked any happier. Spencer, I think we lost the cam again, but I'm just going to keep going because it's totally fine. The beautiful thing about doing this podcast for the first time with all these new elements added to it, it's going to be such a good, like, now we had to know. Now we had to, I just like to clap for no reason. It's not to sync audio or anything. Sometimes I'll just
do it just to be. I just like to clap.
Sometimes I just like to clap, make sure all three of the cameras and the microphones
are
all going to be
synced
up later
in post. That's one part of me that I never lost from being a baby.
That you like to clap?
I love to clap.
You also like to wake up and move your feet. Kick your feet around. Didn't you say when you were a baby you would do that? What are you doing? Button in your shirt. Wardrobe? Costumes? Did that trigger
it's
you?
Me.
So you've done, you did Guys and Dolls and you were in the ensemble.
And I loved it. It was actually the first time I had, it's the first time I'd ever tapped on stage. It was really nerve-wracking.
Wow. And that was the last time you did a show since, like, what, 2018?
2018. The last show I did prior to that was Chicago, and I was Velma Kelly. And that was crazy because I didn't have much dance training at that point in time, but I think it was pretty good.
But the Depot, I mean, it's a small theater for those of you who don't know, or for those of you who do know. Just because it's small doesn't mean anything. I saw the show and I was, like, blown away how talented everybody was. It's a small space, and I think it was perfect for you. Because it wasn't your regular, that's the same size fish you were jumping into, like, you know, you're a freshwater fish going into salt water and your boobs just popped out of your shirt. That's why we have three camera angles. But it was good for you to, like, warm up. It was good, like,
it was. It was getting back to it. I didn't know what the deal was. I was also recovering from COVID.
Yeah.
And I had a mental breakdown the morning of, because I was like, I can't sing. I can't hit my notes. And my mom was like, you literally sound fine. I was like in the clear day, how you had like 5 days or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like where I was at. So I was like, oh my God. And I sang As Simple As That from Milk and Honey, which is a show nobody knows, which is why I use it. And then I came directly from that audition to Joe Like a Boss's
Joe Like a Boss
video shoot.
JLB. Yeah. Joe Like a Boss music video shoot directed and produced by us.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the role and then off you were into rehearsal.
And then off I was. And it was really fun. And I met so near and dear to me, Amber McCarthy.
Shout out to Amber. She was supposed to be a guest last season. Yeah. And we couldn't get her. Well, we're going to get her. We're going to get her. We'll rope her. We'll go into Rhinebeck and drag her out of Rhinebeck and put her in front of this
studio.
She's
actually about to be Adelaide again.
Oh, she's doing Guys and Dolls
up
again?
At Guys and, at Rhinebeck, they're doing Guys and Dolls, and she's about to be Adelaide
again. Oh, what? When were they doing that? We should have auditioned for that.
Yeah, you should have.
Well, I didn't know about it until just now.
Whatever. She was absolutely amazing. It was the first Hotbox Girl rehearsal, and it was just the two of us that showed up, and we were like, well, and like right from the jump, we were like, I was like, this is gonna be good. And she is such an amazing person to watch work. She, I remember at the read, literally the table read of the, before you even start rehearsals, I was like,
I know what a table read is. I've done two.
Not everybody does. I was like, oh shit. Like, she's really fucking good. So
should we start an Amber tribute podcast and just talk about her every week?
This, she'll be the new like person who we hear about but never see of this season is Amber. Yeah,
Amber.
And I love Amber. She, oh God, I love her so much. She's so talented. She is so driven. She's so funny. Yeah, I love her. So getting to meet her at the very least was one of the best parts of doing that show. Mm. We had an amazing choreographer, Christine Bakor. She's really cool. I think I'm saying her last name right. I don't really know.
She probably won't listen.
She,
or maybe she will. I don't know.
She really brought the love of dance back to me. You know, she has really cool credits, both her and her husband.
So it was a good show overall then.
It was great. Okay. Tapped on stage. It's really scary to tap on stage. It made me feel like I was going to poop my pants.
Right, the tapping before. Was going to make you poop?
Every single time before Bushel and a Peck, I was like, I'm going to poop.
Okay. No, imagine that. I love you, a Bushel and...
I had to flip my skirt.
Can you imagine if your first show back, you pooped?
At least I didn't freeze. My last show before that, I froze on stage.
You did.
It was really embarrassing.
So you've closed out Guys and Dolls.
And then
you didn't do anything until Rocky.
No, yeah, I was just kind of just working.
Did you do anything in film?
I sure did.
What did you do after that?
A little project with Dying Industry Films.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, the feature was right after that. We can't talk about that. Anyway, Jump to October, you did Rocky Horror with core group. That's not it.
Jump to August, I auditioned for a new theater company called Core Theater Group. And they were doing Rocky Horror, which I knew of. I didn't know well, but my dad saw it in the newspaper or on Facebook, one of the two. And he was like, I love Rocky Horror. You should audition. And I was like, eh, fuck it. Why not? I didn't know these people. I didn't know how professional they were. Mm. I was terrified. I called you before that audition. I was very scared.
Yeah, while I was DPing a feature film, you called me. Very unprofessional. I think it was on one of our days off. I don't even remember. You call me before every audition.
Yeah, usually. Anyways, so...
Did you poop before your audition?
I don't remember.
She does.
I was nervous. But I was slaying. And I sang two really contrasting songs. And it worked because I booked the show. They called me back for like four characters, which was really overwhelming. I was like working... at my day job working on a movie and then had like 7 pages of material to get familiar with plus songs in a couple days.
Yeah, it was like a couple of weeks of it was like 2 weeks of rehearsal and then boom, show.
Yeah, we were 2 weeks of rehearsal. We did Rocky Horror in a prison. It was really cool. And I was ensemble for that, and that's probably one of my top three shows I've ever done. It was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun to see you in that show. You looked like you were really in your element.
And it was my first professional contract.
Hell yeah. And you were very famous in the Warwick area. Even now when we go out there to Baird's to sing, people still come up to you and go, you were in Rocky Horror. And I'm like, oh yeah? How do you remember she's in Rocky Horror? Was it her face or was it her giant ass that she kept showing on stage? You perverts.
Blame Chuck. He put me in a short skirt because he was like, your body's cute. I want to put you in something that highlights it. And I was like,
yo, at the last Baird's. Yo. At the last Baird. All right, we won't. But shout out to Chuck. Like five times over. He's just like, up next is our sluttiest little.
And I was like, I hope that just means that you think I'm hot.
It reminded me of the, like, the I think you should leave, like, slopping down pig shit with these piggy fuck. Like, that's what that reminded me of.
So
it was just
cool.
Like, up next on stage, we got this fucking whore of a slut. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, Chuck. It's my girlfriend. Have some fucking respect. Damn.
My slut.
That's my slut. Anyway, shout out to Chuck and Paul.
Yeah.
And everybody and else out in Warwick. Pat,
everybody. Thank you for giving me that opportunity.
Book her in the next show where I'll come after you.
Yeah. But yeah, so now I'm doing the big girl, the audition season crawl.
How's that been going for you?
It's been good. You know, you have to keep a really positive attitude to...
Give me that water, sorry. Positive attitude.
You have to keep a really positive attitude because a lot of these auditions, you don't hear anything from them ever again after. Like, you'll audition, they'll be like, that was wonderful, thank you.
Thin.
Radio silence. And then it's like, okay, cool, I guess I didn't get a job. Like, which is fine, but you have to be okay with that. You have to be okay with hearing no, but people don't tell you. You have to be okay with hearing literally nothing because they don't tell you no.
Yeah.
They just don't call you back and they don't hire you. Well, and when you're auditioning...
I think that's kind of a good thing.
Yes and no. Because one, it would be nice to be like, okay, cool, on to the next. But, you know, you never know. People keep you in mind for stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it's good to know that sometimes you literally just never hear anything and you have to be like, okay, moving on.
And that's kind of what you recently, and I hope you stick with it, but, and I'm sure any other fellow actor out there, I'm not a theater person, so I'm not, yeah, there's not necessarily a season for me. Mm-hmm. Every day is my season with L'Oreal. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. That'd be sick to have a L'Oreal sponsor.
L'Oreal sponsor. I don't have nice enough hair for that.
I do.
Slay.
No, I
Spencer
don't.
Might.
Spencer definitely does. Michael. Michael got some good curls. Anyway, we should flat iron Michael's hair one day. See what that would look like. If this episode reaches 100.
Addison.
If this episode reaches 100 views, we will film us flat ironing Michael's hair.
Addison. This is for you.
Yeah. I mean, he works remote a couple days a week. He's got some time. All he has to do is get it wet and it'll go right back to its natural thing. Anyway,
that's so funny.
What the fuck was I talking about? Oh, the audition season.
Yeah.
So I respect it out of you, especially because we have how many conversations have we had? We're very similar. How many conversations have we had to like remind each other, like not each other, but us as individuals, like, hey, this is what you want to do. This is what you have
this,
to do.
Remember, it's hard.
Yeah.
But you have to keep going.
You've been on it.
You've been grinding. Having those conversations with your partner, please think about that. You should be,
unless you're not in theater or
about anything. Like, you should be reminding each other that it's like, hey, your goals are achievable. It's a lot of work, but you can do it. I believe in you. I love you. I support you. I'm here for you. Whatever. And we've had a lot of those conversations. And again, my biggest thing is I have a really, really amazing support system, and I'm very grateful for it. From my parents to my siblings to my family to not family, to my therapist, to you.
There we go. I know. I just wanted to be last.
You know, I can't name it. Antares.
Shout out to Antares. Rest in peace.
Grammy and Antares. Thank you. The reason I have.
Absolutely. Anyway.
But yeah, it's really important because otherwise you will be like, wow, another thing I didn't book. Wow, I cracked on my song. The other day, I made a casting director.
The director.
The other day.
That sounds like some kind of dinosaur.
At an audition for a season, I made the casting director double over onto the table and like pound his fist, laugh so hard at my song.
Because you used my stand-up routine.
No, because I used a song that I have used before and it's worked. And that, to me, even if I don't hear from them and I don't book the job, I'm like, okay, I booked the room. I won the room. I made someone laugh really hard that day. And if nothing else comes from that, I made someone belly laugh and I gave a good performance. Like, I walked out of there being like, fuck yeah. Like,
but also more than
that.
More than that too, like, you got up out of bed, drove down to the city and did a fucking audition. Do you know how many fucking people that I know, and I'm hypocritical, I do this all the time. You know how many fucking people I've been dealing with lately that are just like, I want to do this thing.
Yeah,
just
me,
like how
years.
Sam Efron said it, and go do it. What do you wait? Like, go fucking do it,
yeah,
please, or stop talking to me about it. I'm right. The same way with some things. And
that
recently,
that's a great thing. Like, go do it,
go
or,
do it.
Or stop talking
or shut
about
the fuck
it.
Up.
Like, come on,
seriously. Like, get your fucking ass up and work.
It seems like nobody wants to work anymore.
No, but like, yeah. And as your boyfriend, like, because
we're dating,
we are. It's official. It's tricky for sure because it's Street to Rock and Roll. Sorry, Run DMC reference. You don't know. Everybody knows.
I've seen White Chicks.
I've seen White Chicks. We worked with a lady in White Chicks, Rochelle. She was really nice.
Love you, Rochelle.
Anyway, as a boyfriend, it's like a really interesting dilemma that I've been met with, but not really, because it's like you definitely want to support your girlfriend, especially what they're passionate about, but like you don't know how much is like overstepping. And I don't want to be like a stage manager or your fucking dance mom or whatever. Right. But and you come from the same, you get it too, because the benefits of dating an artist to and being involved in that world is like you get it, but then it's also like, oh, we both have no money. Shit.
Right. That's the thing. Is
not
like,
to like be negative, but
no, it's the reality.
It does keep us on our toes.
Right now, it's the reality. Right now, it's our reality. It won't always be, but right now it is, and that's okay. Another thing Leslie said, wise woman.
God, this fucking water bottle, man. A smooth hit. Like, real. It doesn't feel like I'm, like, sipping.
Why are people getting us to sponsor them?
You have to clean your bong.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Hey, you, clean it.
I just thought about you said smooth hit, and I was like, oh, yeah.
No, it doesn't have a smooth hit.
You know what doesn't have a smooth hit?
You know what didn't have a smooth hit?
Sorry. But no, like you said, what Leslie said.
About, she was like, you have, if you want to be an artist, you have to be comfortable being broke for a while.
Yeah.
And I
grew up broke, so yeah. I already got that out of the way. I'm just kidding. I'm up with severe panic attacks almost every night. I'm not. Oh my God. It was a joke.
Okay.
Do not call me.
My siblings, my older ones, really were like, what do you mean? Like, you want to do theater? Like, don't you want money? You should major in finance or engineering. And I was like, you don't want to know what will happen to me as a human being if that's where I put my focus, because that's not what I care about. It's not what I want. It's going to feel like hell on earth for me.
That would be pretty hot, though, to see you in like a little finance office, like a little skirt and a dress shirt. Sorry, I forgot we were rolling. Continue. Whoops.
Spencer's actually listening to everything you're saying.
I know. It's all a bit. Oh, my God. I was kidding.
Can I not lean into the bit?
Absolutely not. You can. You may. Rocky R reference. You're so pissed that I did that musical theater reference. Could have been yours.
No, should I? But that's what you were trying to quote. You said, may I?
No. In the beginning, when the guy's like, I would like, if I may, you may.
Oh,
whatever.
The narrator,
anyway.
The call out, sorry. You have to cut it. That's in the
the original Balling at What Cost.
Yeah, you have to.
I play Minecraft, I think of that.
I can't do
that. If you haven't watched old Balling at What Cost, watch it on YouTube. And speaking of Balling at What Cost, now it's time for Balling at What Cost. What? So for those of you who don't know what Balling at What Cost is, it's another one of ideas that I had that we did for a little bit, and then it kind of went away. That's my fault. But it's back. But it's back in the form through... It's back within this podcast. Let me take a smooth hit of my water before we get started. There's new rules in Balling at What Cost. So traditionally, Balling at What Cost was you had 10 sneakers, you guess the price, and you, whatever. You win a prize or you don't.
Win a trip to, what did we say?
Des Moines, Iowa. So on this brand new version of Balling at What Cost, we've changed the format. Traditionally, it was you were on the first version of Balling at What Cost, the very few that got to be.
Wonderful.
And just a sidebar before I get into Balling at What Cost, something that I'm really trying to make sure I'm on top of this year with myself is like I have a lot of ideas that get out of the brain, go like 2 or 3, 4, and then they just dramatically fall off and go, oh shit, I forgot about that one thing. It's very hard. It's very difficult to like balance day jobs on top of like your creative project, and something I'm really trying to be on top of. And Balling at What Cost especially was one that was like such a no brainer. I'm like, oh, why did we like not keep doing this?
It's a fun watch.
It definitely is a fun watch, but now it will be even more fun because now it is curated specifically to the guests and is no longer just sneakers. And by the way, the sneakers thing was done out of irony because I fucking hate sneaker culture so much. I think it's psychotic that people go to like conventions and sell sneakers for like absurd prices. It's things that are designed to wear on your feet. Why are you spending so much money? That being said, I did just buy a new pair of New Balances for $90.
Literally.
So
loudest Zoomies of all time.
That Zoomies was crazy. Anyway, here are the rules of Bonneville Cost, the new version. It has been specifically curated for the guests. That means these three items that we have curated for you are specific to you. Stop making that face. So we listed three items, and then you have to guess from lowest to highest. Lois, do it.
Peter.
There you go. From lowest to highest. So we have front row orchestra seats for Wicked. An evening show. We have a translucent chameleon, because I know you like reptiles.
I do.
And a Rowenta professional cleaning steamer. Cleaning steamer?
Yeah. Steamer.
Clothes steamer.
Steam doesn't always mean clean. Steam means
bars. Okay. All right. So list least expensive to most expensive. Go.
Okay. Least expensive. The steamer, the chameleon, Wicked tickets.
Are you sure? Is that your final answer? You're locking
that in? I'm locking that in. I'm not locking it in.
You have 2 seconds to change your mind. Three.
I'm locking it in.
Oh, so close. So close. It was the chameleon, then the steamer, then the Wicked tickets. The chameleon that we looked at the website at was $70. The steamer was $100. And the Wicked tickets were $200-something dollars. Or $195. $197 plus tax. But it's Ticketmaster, so you know that fucking... Them fees, processing fee. You guys have robots that do that for you. Unreal. Sorry, Carrie. You didn't win Ballin' at What Cost. But it's okay. Because you did win. You got to be the Season 2, Episode 1 guest of this podcast. And like most things... That's just as cool, too. I don't know. Anyway, moving on. All right, Kara, so as we wind down here on this episode, what do you got coming up next? What are you looking to get out of 2024? Or any short-term, long-term goals on the horizon for you?
Short-term, through the remainder of this year, I would like to book at least one more theater, like, performing job. That would really be amazing. And I'm looking to switch directions in terms of my personal, like, day job career. So I'm not going to get into that, but I'm hoping that opens some new doors and paths and mm-hmm. paychecks for me. That would be, that's metal.
That's not wood. This is wood, yep. Careful, don't knock over Cody Rhodes.
But yeah, so I've got a couple things that I'm looking forward to. You know, I don't really look too far. Right now I'm just looking at the summer. That's kind of it.
Oh yeah, working on.
I'm keeping a short sight on things.
Do you find that works better for
me personally? For it works to look. That was a big thing. Let me actually not get into that at the end of the episode.
No, all good. I mean, it's not necessarily on the episode. The best part about it being a video pod, I could like swatch and switch things around as much as I want. That's up to my own discretion. Something I did find recently for myself. We kind of do, especially for Dying Industry Films, like we schedule things month to month, and we're almost done with another month. And April was like, definitely wasn't as busy as March. March was insane for us. I don't remember the last time we dropped an episode of the podcast, but I think Sam was the last, or your sister was.
Miles.
Miles was the last one? Well, then there you go. Then you know why we stopped. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I mean, it's... It was tricky because trying to get guests is really difficult. Mm-hmm. That is like the biggest thing. And I don't want it to just be like me rambling on every single week. So I figured the best thing to do is to step back, reassess. But now we're here when we're back. So yeah. And you got to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And thanks. I think and I know as long as you keep working towards it, you'll land where you got to land. And that's my advice for anybody that's trying to do a podcast or trying to – make a career in musical theater or trying to be the best fry cook in the
same piece of advice.
Krusty Krab.
I'll give you the same piece of advice that everybody else gives that has stepped on this. Keep doing the thing you want to do. Stop getting in your head. Literally, no one is going to be as mean to you as you are to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You spend a lot of time in your head. Please make it a nice place to be. That's big that... I'm suggesting that to other people, but it works. Fake it till you make it, even in that sense. Fake that your brain is a nice place to be. It'll help. And don't let people telling you no or any sort of negative thing keep you from at least trying. You can't do anything if you don't try. I mean, you were the one who said when I was, you were like, why are you like scared of auditioning? And I was like, because what if they don't like me? And then you were like, who are they? And I was like, damn, he got me. Who are they? I don't know. This week, who was they? The guy I made laugh really hard.
And do you even remember his name? Say no, so what I said sounds cool.
No.
Exactly my point. Well, yeah, but no, I mean, who is they? It's really just, it all falls back. And again, like I've said on many episodes, I mean, like I said in last season, this season now, it's all in our heads.
It's all in our heads.
If you could spend the time to dream about it, and you can also have the time to have total nightmares about it.
You can spend the time to practice.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's something that I have to remind myself every single day. I'm not fucking perfect. Carrie, you're not perfect. Spencer's not. None of us in the room, in this room are. There's constant fluctuation.
None of you listening are either, or watching.
Hey. The audience is perfect.
You.
And you guys are so perfect there. That I'm calling upon you to like and subscribe and leave a review. And now subscribe to us on YouTube because the video podcast, and just to be clear, just to clarify, still will be available on Apple Music and Spotify and Amazon Podcast. If anybody even fucking listens on that, don't. And it'll be on YouTube.
If you do listen on there, please keep listening. Please.
If you do. I didn't even know it existed, but apparently it's on there. So shout out to Amazon.
Shout out to all the pairs.
Shout out to Amazon, but fuck the Kohl's Amazon return kiosk.
No, not shout out to Amazon.
It was birth of irony. Okay. Anyway, yeah. So.
But yeah, that's my advice. Keep doing what you're doing. If you're scared about it, you care about it.
Ooh. Period.
Yeah. I didn't mean for that to rhyme whatever.
Is that like an original?
No, I just said that. I don't know.
Nice. All right.
So I guess it's an original? I don't know. But
I don't
yeah,
know, but I think
don't...
it's time for me to clap real quick.
yeah.
I'm going to do it again. Just, I like to clap twice for no reason.
No reason at all. Yeah, just keep doing what you're doing, even if it scares you a little. That's good. It means it's out of your comfort zone, and we're human beings.
Make it
we
your comfort zone.
We should be doing stuff out of our comfort zone. That's how you find new things that you like, and that's what keeps us being emotional and passionate in any sense of the manner.
I mean, go back to like the Neanderthal days. Like, they started fire. They probably didn't like that at first, but then they really liked it at first or second. Never mind. Let me just. Sometimes I think I'm about to cook, and then I end up just ordering food.
That was really good.
Before we go, what do you think of the studio?
Sorry, I literally just watched that peak from here from me laughing.
Before we go, what do you think of the studio? Any suggestions?
I love the studio.
It's still very, it's in its infancy.
I really like this candle that you have.
Thanks. I got it from you a couple Christmases ago. I don't know what it smells like. I was thinking about lighting it, but
probably nothing. Probably I also really like these clams playing poker that you have
here.
There
is clams playing poker right next to the Joker. Ours. Yeah, no, I was like, we're just trying to piece together some like fun things. And I as we inhabit this space more, things will definitely evolve. I'm really glad that we do have this space now because a big thing that was stopping us from doing a lot more was we didn't have we have an office, which is super cool. Come visit us. Not really. Call us first before you come visit us. But we didn't really have a place
by
to,
appointment
record,
only.
By appointment only, because somebody, there's, unless we're there, you know. But yeah, and I think revamping and reassessing, reevaluating sometimes is a lot better than just trying the exact same thing over and over until it fails. I mean, it's like sometimes I feel like a dog trying to jump over a fence. But it's like, I think I'm jumping high enough, but I know damn well I can jump higher. Like, I'm like, I could easily clear that. And I go, ugh. But instead, let me just
like a blue heeler.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Cattle dogs.
And that was something, too, I learned recently during this, like, downtime. A lot has changed.
Blue heelers?
I shaved my face. What are you talking about? What is a blue heeler?
It's a dog. It's
no, I'm not talking about the dog.
You were just talking about dogs jumping a fence.
Yeah, but not blue heelers.
Well, they're like really jumpy, high energy because they're like working dogs or cattle dogs.
Oh.
So that was my.
And that was Kara's dog fact of the week. Thank you so much for that. Anyway.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
She does. It's also, too, for all you podcasters out there, maybe do like 4 or 5 practice runs with your significant other before having them. That's what we did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well.
But I'm going to make it because I love what I do. And even though it's hard and it sucks sometimes, I love it to bits and pieces with all my soul. I will make it. You will make it if you believe in yourself. So will you. So will you.
And you in that camera. And you in
and
that
you
camera.
In that camera. And I don't think you can see me from the mic camera.
No, that's me. That's just me.
From the you.
Okay.
Really?
That was really good. That looked like right in frame. I could see it from here.
Cool.
All right. So there's only one last thing to do. There's two last things to do, actually. Essentially. So another thing that I'm trying to entice more people to be on the show, now that it's a video podcast, it's just pretty much an hour and something change of free publicity for all my guests. And you have the chance to get some financial earnings from this podcast. So... with every guest.
Can't wait to get my 26 cents.
That's not what I was talking about. What, royalties? You ain't getting fucking royalties. This is my podcast. You can get a shirt.
I was calling back to my tax return.
Yo.
I got a 26 cent tax return check in the mail. That's real.
I went from owing the IRS $1,000 this year to owing them $200 this year. Do you want to know why? Because the dumb fuck
you should give us your banking
who did my taxes. I'm going to. I was going to, actually. The dumb fuck who did my taxes didn't know how to do a K-1 form and almost cost me $1,000. Shout out to Jasmine at H&R Block. She saved my ass. She saved my ass. Next K-9. Tax season, K-1.
K-9s.
You and these dogs.
You want another dog fact?
You have another dog fact in there and then we'll close it out? You don't.
I don't.
Unbelievable. All right, Kara. So, all right. So, as we wind down here, every guest on the podcast for season 1 guest, I guess you'll have to come back. They get a little reward. They get a little financial compensation for coming on the show. You can have $10, mm-hmm. $10 USD, or what's in the mystery box? $10 or the mystery box? Think hard, and then think harder.
I'm going to think really hard into this camera.
All right. I'm so uncomfortable, and I have to edit that later, so.
I'm going to take the mystery box.
You're going with the mystery box?
I'm
going
to go with the mystery
box. All right. Season 2, episode 1, mystery box is, you may open that. Don't drop it.
I thought it was going to be the picture frame of me saying.
It is my varsity football picture.
Let's.
It was me when I played varsity football framed. I can sign it for you if you want.
I would love that. I love this picture.
Show it to the camera again.
I did.
Yeah. I was holding in a big poop that day. Number 65, Newberg Goldbacks. That is our alternate jersey. That's a rare one. That's a rare one. We only wore that jersey a couple of times. So, yeah.
You're
That's
so
your prize
cute.
For coming on the podcast. Kara, thank you so much for being a part of this. And thank you everybody that has been listening, that has been giving me feedback. And if you ever see me in the wild, if you see me at the gym, if you see me at work, see me at the skate park, and you got feedback for me, good or bad, tell me. I want to hear it because I would like to know what to improve upon always. Shout out to Mr. Conti for always ripping me apart. I feel so humble every time Bob Conti's like, you know what you should do. And I'll be like,
it's
oh, yeah.
Because he cares.
He does care. I fuck with Bob Conti so
I've
heavy.
Never met your parents.
I don't smoke weed. You've never met. We'll get you. I've never smoked weed, but I would dream blunt rotation.
Liar.
Me and Bob Conti for sure. Kara, thank you for coming on the show. Enjoy your prize.
I will.
And for those of you who stayed to the end, thank you very much. As always, like and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Dying Industry Films. Subscribe to us on YouTube at Dying Industry Films. Apple Music, Dying to Talk with Mike Perillo. Spotify, Dying to Talk with Mike Perillo. Yeah. Kara, thank you for coming on. And we'll
thank
see
you.
You next time for the next episode. And that is all. All right.